and just a blessing. Thank you for being here. You know, it's a challenge as a pastor to learn everybody's name, because names are important. And I love being able to try to remember names. Now, I keep working at it, but names are important to us. It's how we know one another. We might ask the question, well, what's in a name? Why are names important? They describe a person. When you call someone by their name, or you talk about someone by name, you realize that is a description of who that person is. In the past, names would identify the occupation of an individual. For example, the village blacksmith would be called the Smith, and that became the name by which he was known. And then the individual names, that would be the surname, but then the given name would be the first names, so that you could distinguish individuals in a family. It might be like the Bakers. That was the family name because they were the Bakers in the village, and then individual names would distinguish individual family members. A name is the sum total of who a person is. When someone calls your name, they are, in a sense, summarizing or describing who you are by use of your name. A new attender here at FBC recently introduced herself, and she says, "I realize that there are several here by the same name that I have." And I said, "Well, you're absolutely right." And I said, "Did you ever think, if you hang around here very long, you're going to hear a lot of Pauls?" You say, there's a lot of Pauls. And I might say, "Paul, would you please stand up?" And it's like, "Oh, well, which one?" Well, if I say, "Paul Armbruster, would you please stand?" And we say, "Paul, would you please stand?" "Oh, he is standing." All right. That narrows it down to one individual. Just think what it would be like if you had to tell who you were married to without using their name. Or who your boss was, or who your father or mother is, without being able to use their name. That would be very difficult. So names are important. It's been said that your name is your most important possession. This morning, and for each Sunday morning leading up to Christmas, we're focusing our attention on some names of Jesus, specifically as they're found in Isaiah chapter 9. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And you can find this on YouVersion. It has it all looked up there for you. Or you can use a pew Bible in front of you, or bring your own Bible, or your iPhone or iPad or smartphone or whatever. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now, as we study this passage and the names of Jesus, or rather the names that describe him or by which he is known, it will become abundantly clear that Jesus is your wonderful God. That's our take-home thought this morning. Jesus is your wonderful God. Just as the Father is God, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is the Son of God, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, your Savior, if you would just believe. But who is Jesus? How is he described? Well, thank the Lord, he has given you and me above and beyond description of who Jesus is in his word. And he tells us who he is by using various names that describe him or by which he is known. So when you pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a tack on at the end of your prayer. You're saying, "God, I come to you through Jesus Christ, and on the basis of who He is and all that He has done for me through His death, burial, and resurrection. And on the basis of His righteousness, I come to you in prayer. That's what in Jesus' name means. And so, you look at Isaiah 9:6, you find an indisputable prophetic passage that points to Jesus being God, who became man as Savior of the world, as your Savior, again, if you would believe. Jesus fulfills this passage in every way, though it was written hundreds of years before His birth. Look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born. This indicates that Jesus came into this world as a baby. That's, we're celebrating Christmas. Here we're looking, this is the beginning of what's commonly called Advent, the coming of the Messiah. That's what this is all about. To us, a child is born. He came to us as a baby. This emphasizes His humanity, but it goes on to say, to us a son is given. It's not talking about Mary's son, although she gave birth to Him as a son. It's talking about the fact that He is God's son, God the Son, who entered the world. This emphasizes His deity. He is 100% God, 100% man. Truly God, truly man, and the government will be upon His shoulder. This indicates that He would be Lord and Savior over all. But the question is He Lord in your life? If we say He's Lord, He's ruler over all things, He should be ruler in your life as well. That He should rule all things in your life, not just the time in which you go to church, but He should be ruler of all things in your life. He's Lord of all. And He would ultimately rule the world. We look forward to that one day, which it will literally happen. We're not there yet, but you can allow Him to rule and reign in your life right now. And His name shall be called. And then you find this list of names that describe Jesus. And so this morning, I want to emphasize the first aspect of His name, and that is Jesus is called Wonderful. Jesus is called Wonderful. Jesus is full of wonder. And that's what we want to talk about here today. The word means miraculous and marvelous. That's what wonderful means. Miraculous and marvelous. We often hear in regard to Disney productions, the wonderful world of Disney. And it is. It's just amazing how they can take a bear and give it human qualities, or a lion, or even a plant, you know. And it's like, how do they do that? I mean, it's amazing. You have all the color splashed all over the screen, and then you have all of the music and the animation and everything. It's just wonderful, but it's nothing compared to the wonder of Jesus. When you talk about the wonderful aspect of Jesus being wonderful, He is of infinite wonder. His wonder is beautiful. It's amazing. It is beyond comprehension. Jesus is wonderful in so many ways. So this morning, I want to highlight a few of those. Don't have time to go on and on, but I want to highlight a few ways in which Jesus is wonderful. The first one is the fact that He is beyond understanding. Jesus is wonderful in that He is beyond understanding. Turn to Judges chapter 13. I remember my first work computer. I was up in Fort Wayne. I was pastor and had a desktop computer. And man, this was really cool, you know. And I could do my messages on computer. And so it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was tapping away, just kind of refining my notes and everything. I was so excited about it. And all of a sudden, I hit something, and poof, I mean, poof, you know, everything was gone. Like, oh, my goodness, what in the world? The choir's singing, they're rehearsing, to God be the glory or something. I'm like, oh, yeah. I go running out there. I go, help! Somebody's got to help me. My goodness, I've lost everything on the computer. And so, you know, one of the ladies, she says, it's okay. She comes walking out, and she comes, just hit the undo button. How did you do that? It was wonderful. I didn't understand it, but I was very thankful. I'll tell you what. It was amazing. We look at Judges chapter 13. And this is when the angel of the Lord comes to Manoah. And I believe in the Old Testament, when it talks about the angel of the Lord, that is most probably a pre-incarnate Christ. Christ, before he came as a baby, he shows up. And he ministers in various ways. And so here, this is one of those situations. And Manoah, the angel of the Lord comes to Manoah, Samson's father, and he tells him the details of his son that would be born, Samson. It's like, wow. And in verse 17, Judges 13, 17, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? So that when your words come true," that's faith, isn't it? "We may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" This is the name, wonderful, of which we speak here. In Job 42, verse 3, Job 42, verse 3, Job is responding to God and says, "You asked, 'Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge?' God, you asked, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?' Therefore," Job says, "I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." You're never going to fully comprehend who Jesus is. You know, people try to figure all of this out. And I'm just so thankful God has given to you and me His Word to tell us what we can, what He wants us to know about us, and really, I think, what we are able to understand about who He is. And here's one of them. He's wonderful. And the fact that He is beyond understanding should just say, wow, that's God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has shown us what He wants us to know of Him in His Word, and very clearly. Vine, in his expository dictionary, says, "The name wonderful means to be marvelous." That's Jesus. Barnes, in his notes, says, "The word wonderful is applied here to denote the unusual and remarkable assemblage of qualities that distinguish the Messiah. It is rather that which is separated from the ordinary course of events, and which is suited to excite amazement, wonder, and admiration, whether it be miraculous or not. The Messiah was wonderful in all things." It's wonderful. You know, God's wonder awakens astonishment in each one of us. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Raise your hands. Do you remember that first time when you walked up and you're like, "Oh my!" I mean, it's like, the words and pictures just don't describe it. It's wonderful. That's what we have here. You think of it as the work of God. You just can't imagine. Who hasn't been awed by the intricacies of the human body? You just sometimes sit and watch your hand and just watch your hand move. It's just amazing. And then you see a little baby born. By the way, have I mentioned my grandbabies lately? That's our little Gracie. She's wonderful. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? I mean, it's amazing. Jesus is wonderful. We don't fully understand it. We can't fully comprehend Him. But that's one reason why He is so wonderful. Another way Jesus is wonderful is He's wonderful in His deeds. He's wonderful in His deeds. We think of His natural deeds. Job chapter 37. Again, Job is being spoken to. Verses 14 through 16. "Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays His command upon them and causes the lightning of His clouds to shine?" Who of us understands lightning? I mean, we understand some qualities of it and how it happens or why somewhat. But who understands that fully? "Do you know the balancings of the clouds the wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge. Psalm 89, verse 5 says, "Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord." Did you see the moon rise? What was it, Friday night? Did you see that? I mean, oh my goodness. My wife said, "Look at the moon." It was just right out over there. We're driving up over the highway there. And she goes, "Oh my goodness, look at the moon." Like, what color was it? Orange. I just saw the moon. I mean, it was like, oh man, that is so awesome. You know, that's a work of God. So we see God around, see His work around us. But we also see His work in supernatural ways. We think of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered." Did you ever? We like His miracles. It's like, man, He is miraculous. We'd like to see and hear of the great miracles that God has done. But did you ever think His judgments are wonderful too? He is wonderful in all that He does. There is an account in Luke chapter 13. Go ahead and turn to Luke 13, verses 10 to 13 here. And it's one of the blessings of studying through Matthew that we've been studying here through the fall. We hear a lot about the miracles of Jesus. Well, here we see one in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. "Now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. You think you're going through a difficult time in your life for however long you've been going through it? Maybe you've been going through it longer, but here's someone who knew what it was like to have a trial for a long time, 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.'" Could you imagine that? Do you think she thought Jesus was wonderful? Oh my! Whoa. Yeah, she was healed from her disability. "And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Look at verse 17. "And all the people rejoiced at all the," NIV says, "wonderful things that were done by Him." He is wonderful in all that He does in His works. And these matters are inexplicable apart from an almighty God. And that should cause you to wonder and call Him wonderful. Here's another way Jesus is wonderful, and that is He's wonderful in His great love. Psalm 17, verse 7. "Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand." Psalm 31, verse 21 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has wondrously shown His steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city." His love is evident in the middle of adversity. Back in 1975, right now, so I guess that was, 43 years ago, and I remember it clearly, I was lying in the hospital as a result, right now, this date, as a result of a head-on collision with a police car. And my little brother was killed in that accident. And I know I had a lot of questions. I was like, what in the world? Why in the world? A lot of why questions. But I don't ever remember questioning the presence of God and the love of God in my life. I don't know what you're going through now or in the past or what you will go through. But Romans chapter 8 says nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. His love is wonderful. I think of Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me understand the ways of your precepts. I don't understand. I didn't understand. God, make me understand the ways of your precepts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. You're going through a difficulty, a challenge right now. Whatever it may be, meditate on how wonderful God is and how wonderful His Word is. That will help you. It doesn't mean you can't answer. Doesn't mean you can't ask why. Oh God, why? Help me, encourage me, strengthen me through Your Word. And if God can do these wonderful things, certainly He can help you through His sufficient grace, through whatever it is that you face. Be encouraged. Remember His wonder. Here's another way which Jesus is wonderful, and that is in His person and His work. Who He is and what He has done. Psalm 145, verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Who can comprehend what Jesus did when He died in your place? God became man, Jesus, not just to live a perfect life, though that's what He did, but He came to die in your place. You and I deserve to die. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be eternally separated from God forever. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did that for you. One of the things we talk about a lot around here at FBC is the importance of knowing Jesus. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally, having a relationship with Him as a result of believing what we're talking about. I'm a sinner and I repent. I realize that my sin separates me from a holy God. And so I turn from my sinfulness and I turn to Jesus, believing that He came, that He died, He was buried, He rose again in my place. And I ask Him to be my Savior. That's salvation. And it's wonderful. And He is wonderful in His person, who He is, and His work. And that's the most wonderful news you could ever hear. Amen? And then as a believer, you rejoice in that wonderful news, that you're living that. You're living your life in light of the fact that He saved you. That's wonderful. Wonderful news. Here's another way He's wonderful, and that is He's beyond mortality. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. I'll give you a moment. Matthew chapter 1 talks about the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, Christ meaning the Messiah, He's the Savior. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Could it be any more clear that Jesus is God? He is beyond immortality. He is God who became man. These are wonderful truths. And I hope you think upon these and ponder them. Just meditate upon them this week. Just think about how wonderful He is. And hopefully these notes will help guide your thinking in this. and take these passages. I hope you've written them down and just look them up and go over them to think about how wonderful Jesus is to you. But how do you respond to someone who is wonderful? You know, maybe you've met Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful. You know, when you meet someone like that, you just want to spend time with them or talk to them or talk about them. You just want to be with them. Well, Jesus is wonderful. No question about it. We've looked at it here today in so many ways. How should you respond? Well, first of all, you should long to spend time with Him. How do you do that? Through His Word. And in prayer, we talk about, have you had your quiet time today? You know what? It's not about, okay, I want to make sure I get my quiet time in so that I can be spiritual or whatever it is. No, I want to spend time with God. Do you look at it that way? I want to spend time with God. I want to think about God. I want to learn about who He is and how precious He is to me. The wonderful things about Him and His Word. And then you pray, oh God. Maybe it's just, first of all, you start and you say, God, I don't understand. But I want to know You. And you talk to God, just like we're talking here this morning. And like you talk to one another, God, help me. You spend time with God. But then you think about Him. You meditate upon Him. You take these notes and throughout the week you think, God, I just want to think about how wonderful You are. And wow, Pastor talked about a passage that talked about Your creation. And man, just look around. Just think about how wonderful God is as you look at the stars, as you look at the moon. Meditate upon Him. Think about Him. And then talk about Him. He should be in your conversation. It should be, your witness should be natural. We talk about classes, you know, how we teach people how to witness. And that's appropriate. We need to be comfortable in that, or learn how to be comfortable in it. But man, if He is wonderful to you, just like someone, Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful, it's just natural. Let me tell you about my Lord. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my salvation. And boy, I'd sure like for you to come to Jesus too, so that you can know Him as well. The wonder of Jesus leads then to worship. Exuberant praise. Oh God, I praise You for how wonderful You are. And express that thankfulness. What a powerful message Pastor Nate preached last week on the matter of thankfulness and how essential it is to your relationship with God. It's a barometer. It tells you about how things are going with you and God. You express that thankfulness. You imitate Him. You show others that Christ makes a difference in your life. So we ask, who is this Jesus? He is known by His name. As one preacher put it, he says, the Bible says, my King Jesus is a seven-way king. He is King of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the King of Israel. That's a national king. He's the King of righteousness, the King of the ages, the King of heaven, and the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show His handiwork. My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His endless supply. No barrier can hinder from the pouring out of His blessing. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere, eternally steadfast. He is immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizons of this world. He is God's Son. He is the sinner's Savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of Himself. He is awesome and unique. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the author's idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the corner and necessity of spiritual religion. He is the miracle of the ages. He is the superlative of everything good that the Jews could call him. He is the only one qualified to be all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He is available to the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick and cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know him. Well, my King, he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness, is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. Yeah, that's my King. He's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I wonder, do you know him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence here this morning. And we are awed by who you are as you have revealed yourself in your word. And here this morning we've learned that our Lord Jesus is wonderful. Wonderful in so many ways. And I just pray that as we have just glimpsed at you through your word, that wonder would just go with us from here and cause us to just humbly bow before you in exuberant praise and worship for who you are and how you work and what you have done. Lord, help us to carry these truths with us here today. And the days ahead, may these truths make a difference in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage each of you just to ponder the wonder of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card, whether it's the pew in front of you or through YouVersion or from the website. But jot down how God has spoken to you here this morning. It may be that you realize, you know what? I need to know this great God. I want to know of my salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm not sure of that. I want to know. I have questions. Jot that down. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only, and we'll get with you about these things. Maybe it's, you know what, I need to discover His wonders in His Word. I need to spend time with God. I don't do that faithfully. I want to get into His Word to know Him. You might jot that down. And maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's your witness. Be encouraged. Maybe you're going through a difficulty. Just jot down how God has spoken to you through our time together here today. We're going to take an offering here in just a few moments. And place your connection card at the offering plate. But I encourage you to give faithfully as unto the Lord, so that the word of which we speak here today can go forth in our message, in our ministry, and beyond. And just give faithfully out of a grateful heart to God's glory. God, help us. May we be faithful. Faithful to You as You are to us. And just glory in Your wonders. In Jesus' name, amen.